We find Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane spending time with his Father. And I think that's a wonderful thing. He wanted to spend his last hours with him. And I want you to listen today. I'm going to take the time to read the entire passage of Scripture today, and then we'll come back and discuss it as we go. If you have your Bibles, chapter number 26, the book of Matthew, beginning verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed. And he said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. I want you to think about that. Let me just say that prayer again. He said, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now. Take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Our Father, Lord, as we come today, there's a sense of feeling, Lord, of sadness in our heart as we read what our Savior was about to endure. But Lord, that sadness is short-lived when we realize what it accomplished in providing salvation for us in our life. Lord, many times sorrow may come, but I believe today sometimes God allows the sorrows in order that we might experience the joy. And Father, today I pray that you would tenderize our hearts as I speak this morning. Lord, help us to be receptive to the truth that is before us. Lord, may we go with Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane today. Lord, may we stay awake, unlike the disciples did. Lord, may we pay attention, listen, and ask God to speak to our heart. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. I want to remind you that Jesus, the Son of God, was 100% man, 100% God. I'm not going to explain that today because I can't explain it except to tell you that's what the Word of God says. I believe it, and I know that it's to be true. But when I think about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross for us, it would do us well to go back and remember some of the things that he endured in order that he might bring about salvation in our life. One of the things was is going to the cross. However, before he went to the cross, he went before his Father to spend time with him and pray to him. Again, emphasizing of great importance, the importance of prayer in all of our lives. But we find that Jesus here is operating under extreme burden. In fact, look at verse 37 and 38 again. If you have your Bibles there, I hope you still have them open. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said, Then saith unto him, them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Those words given meant he was very sorrowful. He was experiencing excessive grief. His heart was very heavy. He was under a great deal of distress. I would say today in the world we live in, oftentimes we have sorrow, we have grief, we have heaviness. But I'd venture to say today none of us ever had the sorrow, the heaviness, and the grievousness that the Lord Jesus Christ had when he bowed in the Garden of Gethsemane to pray to his Father. He said, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. He knew that he was headed for the cross. He knew death was before him. He knew death could occur in just the moments away when he would be betrayed, as he signified there that he had been betrayed. So Jesus approaches God with a burden. I tell you, take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there, right? And Jesus set the example. He did that. He came to the place of Gethsemane. The word Gethsemane means the olive press. It was there that the olive trees were squeezed in order that they might yield up their oil. It was in this place that Jesus yielded up his oil of sweet savor of who he was, the Son of God. And he surrendered to his Father. He yielded to him in every area of his life. I want you this morning to join with me as we walk through Gethsemane. And by the way, I've enjoyed the Holy Land tour we've been doing on Wednesday night through video. I was able to watch that Thursday that y'all watched on Wednesday night, and I'm grateful. It gives me a sense of feeling when I look at those places. Sometimes the chill bumps may come. Sometimes the tingling may occur. Sometimes it makes me realize that this is a real place where a real God went to a real cross in order that he might provide salvation for us. Jesus' prayer is one of total submission and surrender to the will of God. Did you hear me? I said his prayer was a prayer of total submission and surrender to the will of God. Now, this is a difficult prayer to pray. We know that what we want. Normally, we go to God with our situation and we tell God what we want, and then we expect him to give it to us. But I got news for you. That's just not the way it works. God does not work in order that he may give us everything we want. And I think I can show you that today as we go. But you know, we may be in shock to understand prayer doesn't work that way. We just don't go to God and tell him what we want. And then I know he said in places that he would hear and answer our prayer. And he does. But genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our way with God. Did you hear me? Genuine biblical prayer is never about us getting our way with God. It's always about God getting his way with us. And we come to pray. We need to come in a spirit of understanding that when we're praying to God, and ultimately, it's not what we desire or what we want. And there's nothing wrong with bringing your wants to the Lord, but understanding God's will and answering that prayer is the most important thing that we'll experience. Let us join him in Gethsemane today, because I want to preach on the most difficult prayer of all. I want you to see today three things, and I'll give them to you in just a moment. I'm going to give them to you right now, but we'll look at them individually. But it involves supplication, it involves surrender, and it involves submission. I would say that's a good lesson. If you got a pen, you might want to write those down. Because if you're ever praying, it ought to involve supplication. It ought to involve surrender, and it ought to involve submission to whatever God's will is for our life. The first one we notice is this prayer involves supplication. Jesus prayed, here's what he said, "Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." Now, that song answered the question of what was in the cup. But I'm going to share that with you today because he was praying. He said, if it be possible for this cup to pass from me. First of all, I want to remind you today that he's not speaking of the cross. He was not praying and said, Lord, if we can get by without going to the cross, that's what I want to do. That was not his desire at all. Why? Because Jesus came for the purpose of dying on the cross. We sing the song, Born to Die. Listen, there was never a time when he was born into this world that he was not headed to the cross. And he knew that. The Bible said in John 18:37, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou the king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end I was born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. In Revelation 13:8, he said, And all that dwell upon the earth and shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, listen, slain before the foundation of the world. So he's not speaking of the cross. He's not speaking of death. I told you he came to die on that cross, and he was not praying and said, Lord, if it be possible now. It wasn't about the cross, and it wasn't about, Lord, if it be possible now, did I not die? Listen, the only reason he came was to die. The only reason he came was to provide salvation. He was waiting to go back to heaven. The only good thing for him about this was when it was all over, he was going back to be with his Father in heaven. What a wonderful thought that is. Jesus was born to die. The Bible said in Philippians 2:5-8, Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation. And he took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. The cup does not refer to the cross. The cup does not refer to his death. But the cup was a cup that was filled with our sins that we committed against him. And literally, Jesus had to take that cup, and as he sang a while ago, drink that cup in order that he might be saved. You say, or not that he might be saved, but that we might be saved. There's much more to give an account in this sermon than what we're talking about here. But I want you to see our Lord's Prayer contained a request. He's praying to God, and again, understand, God never once was shirking his responsibilities. He was never trying to get out of it. He was the only one that could be sacrificed for our sin, and we know that. But we find today, as we come to this point, you know why he wanted the cup? If there was another way, he didn't want that sin. And why wouldn't he? He was sinless. He didn't want that old dirty, rotten sin that people have committed all through the ages upon him. But he knew that if he drank that cup, what happened? His father was going to turn his back upon him. They were going to be separated for a period of time. And I believe he was sorrowful that as he drank that cup, that he knew that he and his father would be separated one from the other for a period of time. And I believe it broke his heart because he was in heaviness and sorrow. And I think today how many times that we pray, but yet he realized how repugnant that his sinless spirit would be if he drank that cup. There's much to this account. Prayer is man communicating with God. Now, in reality, it was Jesus, right? But it was man. When he was upon this earth, he was man, and he's communicating with God, and he's praying to God. How do we pray? We approach God through word or through thought. I believe we can pray through thought. I think people can pray driving down the road, and they don't have to speak a word. They can pray in their mind. And God hears those kind of prayers too. But it's communicating with God in word or in thought. Prayer is having a conversation with God. We approach him. We make our requests, but I would suggest to you before we make our requests, we ought to praise his holy name for who he is and what he's done, and lift him up and glorify him in everything we say. But we make our requests known. Prayer gives us an opportunity to talk to God. I can imagine that there's been times people have said, boy, I sure wish God would come down so I could talk to him. Oh, I got news for you today. He's coming down one day, but it ain't going to be to talk to you. It's going to be to come and get you if you're saved, take you home to heaven to live with him forever. But if you want to talk to him, you can talk to him today. He'll listen to you, and you can carry on a conversation with him and request to him. We can share our fears. Isn't that wonderful? We can share our problems, and I believe everybody in this building has got a problem today. There's struggles that we experience in our life. Many of you today are in pain. There's heartache. Your heart has been broken over a loved one that has done something that perhaps maybe you do not agree with. But there's all kinds of troubles. And when we pray, we express to God how thankful to him we are for the blessings of God. Friend, I want to remind you, after what's happened to me this year in my surgery, and I'm not going into all that, I'm tickled to death every time I'm able to come stand in this pulpit. And I realize it's the hand of God and the blessing of God to allow me to be here in this place. Most of the time, prayer is about asking God for things we need in our life. Usually, that's when we usually pray. This is what the prayer is for. The Bible said in Philippians 4:7, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The word supplication means burdens, means needs, means problems, and we request. Sometimes we request specific issues in our life. And by the way, prayer is a great privilege that is enjoyed by the people of God. But I'm convinced today that we do not utilize the greatest power in the world as much as we ought to, in praying as much as we ought to, and seeking God's will in our life. The Bible said in the book of 1 Peter 5:7 that God invites us to pray. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. And by the way, who else did Jesus had to turn to? He had no one else to turn to. Who do we have to turn to? No one else but Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. We need to turn to him in our time of need. God promises to hear our prayer. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Jeremiah 33:3. I tell you today, I'm so grateful that God's promised to hear our prayers. But you know what else? God's promised to answer our prayer. Do you know God always answers our prayers? Now, I know some people say, preacher, oh, wait a minute. When we get out of here today, I'm going to tell you a time he didn't answer my prayer. You may tell me something, but let me tell you, he answers our prayer every time. How does he answer? Either yes, no, or maybe later. He's going to answer one way or the other. And the fact of it is, today, he may say, wait. We may have to wait on an answer. But the truth is, today, God promises to answer our prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. It's better for God to answer our prayer according to his will than it is according to our will, because he knows what's best for our life. Prayer can be hindered. How can prayer be hindered? Friend, I'm going to tell you something tonight, or this morning. I preached 2 weeks ago before the revival, and I preached that message at the revival. I don't mind telling you about the Holy Spirit, being controlled by the Spirit. Friend, I'm going to tell you, there ain't no church going to have revival if you don't first get rid of the sin that is in the church and get people right with God. Somebody said, boy, you remember those great revivals they had? I remember reading about them. But I'm going to tell you, I believe when we read about them, we find out people fell down on their face before God. They got their hearts right with God. And when they got right with God, God began to bless them. So the sin can affect and hinder our prayers. The Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, God will not hear me. That's a good thing for you to remember when you go to pray. First, check up and see if you got any sin in your life. And if it is, confess it right then. Now, the good news is you can confess it, he'll forgive you, and then you can go on and pray. But you're wasting your time when you pray if there's sin in your life and you haven't made it right with God. Prayer can be hindered by neglect. James 4:2 said, you lust and have not, you kill and desire to have, you cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. Friend, God is not going to answer a prayer that we don't pray. I know God's in control of everything, but listen, neglect will hinder our prayer. Selfishness will hinder our prayer. Most people think that God is some giant Santa Claus in the sky, and if we need something, we want something, we just tell him and he'll just give us whatever we need. Just don't work that way. Friend, remember, prayer is not about us. It's about him and praying for his will to be done. Selfishness, you ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask it amiss, that you might consume it upon your own lust. I don't think there's anything wrong with asking anything. I mean, if you want a new car, go ahead and ask God for it. But just be sure you say, Lord, thy will be done. If there's something else you want, be sure. You know, and I know we're all guilty sometimes. We try to maybe help the Lord out, you know, to get our way. But God wants his way in our life. Sometimes prayer is hindered by doubt. In James 1:6-7, it said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. We should be a people of prayer. You know why? Because our Father cares about us. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for us. And not only does God love us, but our Savior loves us. The second thing I want you to notice, this prayer not only involves supplication, but this prayer involves surrender. If you would, we'll look over in the verse here as we come. He talks about it, and he says, not as I will. Surely, the human in Jesus would, I'm sure he was not longing for the pain and suffering that he was going to endure. He was not looking forward to the death on the cross. Surely, the eternal Son in Jesus would have preferred to avoid it with all its sin and separation from the Father, but he knew he couldn't. Jesus displays a true heart of biblical prayer. Now get this, here's a true heart of biblical prayer. When he prays, but no time before he gets to the point of his life, he says, not my will, but thy will be done. He's surrendering his will. Friend, you know, Every time we start a prayer, it ought to be, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done, and then proceed with your prayer. You see, prayer is never about the person doing the praying. But prayer is always about the God being prayed to. What I want is never an issue. I don't care what it is. It's not an issue. But God is never obligated to answer any of my prayers like I pray them or want them, because he's God and his will should be done in our life. Prayer is not dictating to God what he will and will not do. I've heard people sometimes praying and it sounded like they was rebuking God. Lord, you know that I've served you and I've been faithful. There was a man this week in the revival that came to me, and he shared with me a story. He said his grandfather, his grandmother was expecting twins, and the wife got sick, and the doctor said, she's not going to make it, the mother. She's not going to make it. I'm not sure if the twins did or not. But he said his granddaddy was there at the hospital, and a guy kin to him said, come on, I'm going to take you home where you can get some rest. You've been at that hospital. And so on the way home, the kin person told his grandfather, whose wife was in the hospital, he said, when we get home, we're going to get on that front porch and we're going to tell God of what all you've done for him. We're going to tell him how you've been faithful and how you've served and how you've read your Bible and how you prayed. And the grandfather said, stop the car. The man, I guess, thought they was fixing to get out there and talk about what he had done. He said, I'm getting as far away from you as I can. I ain't telling God about nothing I've done. He said, he's done way more for me than I could ever do in my life. And I tell you today, there's a lot of people who have the attitude that God owes them something. He don't owe us nothing. What we do is we owe him everything because of what he's done for us. Genuine prayer is always aligning the will of man with the will of God in every situation. In true prayer, my will dies at his feet. Brother, when I come to the feet of Jesus, my will should die. Until we come to the place where we say, Lord, not my will, but thine be done, then we're not talking to God. We've got to understand the prayer that Jesus prayed was a beautiful example of the way we need to pray. We bring our petitions to him. Real prayer is always about total surrender to our surrender of our will to his will. Our prayer is not like a blank check. We just expect God to answer anything. Many great promises related in the Bible. Listen to me now. Many promises in the Bible related to prayer are wretched and from their context, wretched from their context and twisted into something God never said. Let me give you a verse. Listen to it carefully and think what you're thinking in your mind. Again, I say unto you, this is Matthew 18:19. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now, what do you think? I'll tell you what most people think. Well, preacher, he said if two agreed, not touching anything, anything we ask, that it be done. Don't say nothing about his will. It don't say nothing about that. Well, let me give you a little help. When you go home this afternoon, read the context of the scripture. You see, you can take the Bible and make it say anything you want to. But this context is speaking about church discipline. It's talking about people that have gone wayward in the church, and when they went together to meet them and try to get things squared around, get them back right with God, they were to agree together. And then when they agreed together of what needed to be done, they were agreeing, if this person had not repented, they're agreeing with what God's already decided in heaven. And so it doesn't have nothing to do with general prayer. It's talking about a person that has got backslidden away from God and somebody going to them and trying to bring them back and a person repenting and whatever. But God knows what's going on all the time. But he's not talking about just taking that and saying, well, he said, so come on, boy, if that was so, we'd all have a partner, wouldn't he? Come on, let's agree together. However, when we do agree about the matter in prayer, all our prayers are subject to being revealed to God's will. And I don't have time to read all the scripture this morning, but the Bible said in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All of the agreement in the world all of the agreement of the world will never override God's will. You hear what I'm saying? We can get together as a church and we can agree on something, but if it's not God's will, we're not going to overturn it. We have no power to do that. We're to just close our, you know, some people think this. They say, well, all you got to do is just close in Jesus' name. Now, I believe in closing in Jesus' name. I believe the Bible teaches that. But don't believe just because you close in Jesus' name that you can use His name to get everything you want. That just ain't the way it works. It is to pray for His purpose, for His will to be fulfilled, and not for our selfish reasons. Friend, I'm going to tell you something. I'm thankful. He's had to whip me, and He's had to punish me, and I've been times that I surely hadn't prayed like I need to. But I'm glad today that God had His way with me rather than me having my way with me, because if I'd have had my way with me, I'd have had a mess. You know, we think about it. It's a petition on the basis of Christ's righteousness. When we're praying for something based on Christ's righteousness and not our own. It is to pray for His glory and His glory alone. And that ought to be our desire. Let me show you this. Somebody the other day said to me, in fact, my wife and I were talking about it the other day. We said, we need to get a power of attorney. We need to get Justin lined up in case something happens to us. We're in the hospital, can't make a decision for herself. We need a power of attorney. Now, a power of attorney is somebody that's appointed to be over someone's affairs. You're given the right to make decisions on their behalf and do what needs to be done if you're the only one that's left. But you know what it means? It does not mean that you can do anything you want to with their resources. Justin, did you get that? But they have the right to make the decision, but they have no right to do anything about the resources. It means that if they act in their best interest, just remembering with their name and reputation is at stake. So power of attorney has power to make decisions when I'm not able to make decisions. But he doesn't have power to take what I have and do with what he wants to do. And literally today, that's the way some of us think. We think when we got saved, we got the power of attorney. And we can just do what we want to, but God don't work that way quickly. And I move on. This prayer involves submission. Jesus prayed, thine be done. I want you to know when he prayed this, he said, thine be done. The Lord Jesus submitted himself to the Father's answer. Even if it was not what the answer that he wanted was, Jesus said, God, you're my Father. And if that's what you want, I'll take it. The secret to a happy and fulfilled prayer life is learning to pray according to God's will. And irregardless of what happens, to praise His name He gives, regardless of what it may be. Friend, I'm going to tell you something today. There's things happen in our life that aren't pleasant sometimes. But friend, God knows what's best for us. And sometimes God's answered our prayer a little bit different than we wanted Him to. But we know that it was His will that was being done. Some of God's choice saints received answers that opposed their request. You remember David's sin with Bathsheba? And there was a child that came out of that relationship. And it was a child, it was David's child. And David was just like any other father that has a child, or at least he ought to be. He loved that little baby. And he prayed. He put on sackcloth and he got on his face and he pleaded with God for that baby to live. The Bible said in 2 Samuel 12, verse 14 through 23, and I'm not going to read them all, I'm just going to read verse 14. He said, howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. David was God after man's own heart. Yes, he sinned. He sinned greatly. But read Psalm 51. You'll see where he repented greatly too. The Apostle Paul said, Lord, if it be your will, would you remove this thorn in the flesh I have? And God said, he said basically that God decided not to do it, but here's what he said. He didn't do it, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I'd rather have a thorn with the grace of God in my life to comfort me and strengthen me than to have the thorn removed and not have the sufficiency of Christ. The Apostle Paul found himself many times in prison. In Philippians 1, 13 and 14, he said, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in the palace and in all other places. You know what he's doing? He's rejoicing in the place he's at. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word of God without fear. Paul said, hey, I don't like being in prison, but I tell you one thing, God's using it for something. He's reaching people and he's helping them be strengthened by what I'm doing. It's not an easy place to go. Turning away from everything we want, turning away from everything we think, and accepting what God says is right and what is holy. It means that we accept God's plan, even if it isn't our plan. In every situation, we know one thing, God will always do what's right. He's never failed us yet. Vance Haddner, I love to read after him. God wants us to trust him no matter what he does. There's a heavenly carelessness that leaves it all with Jesus and doesn't become upset when he does things contrary to what we expected. We don't need to get upset just because God don't answer the way we want to. Psalm 18:30 said, as for God, his ways are perfect. Augustine told about his mother, Monica's prayer. Here was her prayer here, or what his thought. He said, but here's what he said about that. But thou, now you have to, this was written in English some kind, you listen carefully. But Augustine said, but thou, taking thy own secret counsel and noting the real point of her desire, talking about his mother, didst not grant what she was then asking in order to grant to her the thing which she had always been asking. What it's saying here is he was going to go to Italy, and his mother didn't want him to go to Italy. But you know what? He went to Italy. God told his mother, he said, yeah, I'm sorry, you're not going to get your answers. Well, you're not getting what you want. But guess what? When he got to Italy, he got born again by the Spirit of God, and God saved him. You know what? If God would answer her prayer and he hadn't went to Italy, her prayer may have never been answered. But the very prayer she prayed for, God said no. He said, just wait a while, and I'll take it and bring it to pass. I tell you today, we better be careful, because God demands total surrender. Have you this morning reached the place of total surrender? Here's Jesus in Gethsemane, heavy, burdened, sorrowful of heart. Lord, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Have you come to the place where you can trust God to do the right thing? I tell you, boy, I mess up all the time. I tell you, I'm not going to tell you that. I did something yesterday that was real dumb. Well, I'll tell you, because now you're going to worry me to death. But we was driving, and Susan said something about something over here, so I just changed lanes. Boy, it was close. Got a horn blowed at me. I tell you, I mess up all the time. I got where I was going. I put her behind the wheel. I said, you drive the rest of the way. I just need to work out my shakes. But I tell you what, I've got a God in heaven. He's never, never, never made a mistake. He's always been perfect. When you come to the place to make your request, just leave it in his hands. Have you reached the place of submission and surrender in your life? Maybe that you've been praying selfishly. Maybe you've been expecting God to do what you ask him to do. But I would suggest that you come to him today and say, Lord, if it be thy will, this is what I need. But Lord, if it's not, thy will be done. And Jesus left Gethsemane, betrayed by Judas, went to the cross and died because God answered his prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, today. Lord, I feel so, 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 so insufficient.